Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com. Hello, and thank you for joining Sozo Talk Radio, episode 13, with Aaron Peterson. Today we are going to be discussing The Seer Anointing, which happens to be a book that Aaron Peterson has written. And could you hold up one of those books for me, Aaron? Because I don't have a physical copy, I just have a digital copy. Yes, The Seer Anointing, Restoring an Ancient Gift to the Modern Church. Dude, thank you for writing this book. I thoroughly enjoyed reading it. We're going to get into all that. Before we do that, let's first talk about what's coming to Elevation Church in Green Bay. By the way, I just tell all our listeners, please subscribe, like, share, comment. That helps get the word out. You know, if you like what we're doing, you can help. And we'd encourage you to do that. Stay connected with us. So there's links in the description below to Facebook page, Sozo Talk Radio, Elevation Church. I'm going to put one in there for that. So let's talk about what's coming to Elevation Church and what God's doing there. What do we got going on, Aaron?
Oh, physically, we are finally settled into a new building and still walking out the miracle of the location that we landed in, being really close to Lambeau Field and just kind of in the heart of everything that's going on in the community. So that's crazy. We have the Accelerant Conference coming up in just a little over 2 weeks, or 2 weeks exactly from today.
Yes, indeed.
It's the Accelerant Conference. So we're having Bill Vanderbush come in, and he carries a ridiculous wisdom, apostolic mix, kind of an anointing that just blows the house up every time he comes in. So we are ridiculously blessed to have him. And functionally, we are still like stepping in a new revelation about what the fivefold ministry really looks like.
Yes.
And having our teams draw together, and really feels like God is calling us to blaze some new trails as far as what the expression of the fivefold looks like and what mothers and fathers look like in a healthy way in the church environment. So it's a crazy season.
That's cool.
Things are breaking loose in the spirit around us in ways that I'm not used to. We're starting to see revival expressed in our kids' ministry, something that my heart's been burning for all along, but hearing about more healings and more accurate prophetic words and just crazy things happening in the kids' rooms too. So we're building momentum in a really good way.
Yes, and I'm so excited to be a part of that momentum too and be a part of this church. For the Accelerant Conference, it's coming May 17th through 19th. Are you going to be speaking at that as well, like during a day session or something?
I think right now we're only planning evening sessions.
Okay.
And it's going to be mostly Bill. I will be on prayer teams, and I'll be in and out throughout the whole conference, and it's going to be really good.
Yeah. I'm bringing my tribe from Appleton here. So May 17th, starting at 7 p.m., I guess it's going to be a 7 p.m. start time each night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So we'll see you there if you live in the Appleton or Fox Valley area. That'll be something to check out. And by the way, I was able to just interview Bill Vanderbush on Sozo Talk Radio just 2 days ago. So I'll be uploading the blog post associated with that. It's actually already on YouTube, so people can check out that. I asked him the question, searching for a faith that works. That was the topic that we hit home, and it was just brilliant, the answers that he helped me to actually to remind me of, because I think that's mostly what we do, is remind each other of things that Holy Spirit's taught us or you know, led us into these discoveries of like, okay, this is what it's really about. This is a faith that works. And really what he highlighted was love. Do you have your love in order? Are you receiving love from God? Because don't you dare start doing anything for God until you've soaked in that love for a good spell, you know? Jesus soaked in that love for a good 30 years, you know, before he launched into, you know, just soaking in the Father's love, okay, for real. Like even Paul, he went on the backside of a desert just to soak in God's love, you know, before he went to go do for God, right? We got this performance mentality that has to die, right?
Yeah. That's the heart posture thing that I was talking about in my prayer earlier. You're either doing it for love or from love.
Yes.
You're either doing it for identity or from identity. And until we get that sorted, it's really hard to bear fruit. It's really hard to move forward. It's hard to do this thing that we call the faith. Mm-hmm. But when we can get that heart posture right, come from love, come from identity, mm-hmm. things line up in ways that would blow your mind.
I'm totally feeling the Holy Spirit as you say that. And that's what Bill is coming to bring. He's bringing that message with him when he comes. So we're going to get straightened out from all our like dead religious ways. And Bill Vanderbush will bring a lovely perspective. And by the Holy Spirit, of course, it's really what's driving all this. So I'd love to, we're going to dive into what your book's about. We're going to just unpack that a bit. So my first question, what inspired you to write this book?
Honestly, I feel like there are seasons of grace that we have to pay really close attention to. Mm-hmm. And I had prophetic words given to me about being a writer and an author and writing and over and over again, experiences mm-hmm. where people had called that out in me. And I have so many like Ishmael books, like fragments of things that I started and then the fire went out and couldn't get anywhere with them, that when I finally do get the grace season again and it feels like it's kicking up, so there's things shifting. But this book, while Callie and I were in California at the Bethel School, you know, like half training and half a hiatus from ministry. It was really half sabbatical and half school.
That's lovely. That's good for you.
But something about that season, I ended up mentoring a number of seers while we were in California. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I found was that they were asking questions of me that I had never asked of myself. And when they asked mm-hmm. the questions, I had the answers.
Yes.
And it was just this bizarre sort of, because I'd grown up in this gift,
Yes. I
had never even thought to ask some of the questions that they asked. And when they asked it, it was so easy just to go, yeah, I think this is what it's about. Like, yeah, this is what my experience says. Mm-hmm. And coming out of that, I started writing, and the book, at least the meat of the book, poured out over the course of a few months. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a years long process. It was a few months long process. It just flowed very naturally. And I feel like there was a season of grace specifically just to get it all out there. So that's kind of why.
Yeah, I feel it's important to the body to recognize what being an I in the body of Christ is really all about. And, you know, one of the things that it's interesting how the Lord has kind of partnered me with this whole seer anointing thing is that I ended up talking to this guy, Doug Overmeyer, in one of my episodes. He has a ministry to seers because his daughter was a seer. And I think he's got seersc.com or whatever. But yeah, you can check out that episode for our listeners' sake. And actually, I connected you with him on Facebook. I'm like, here, you gotta, not your best friends, Doc. and he's actually going to get a lot out of your book too. I sent him a copy of that. So, yes, what I was going to say also is that, I love the stories and the personal nature, the, the conversational way that you write and relate. It's just, that's just great. That's right up my alley. You know, it's not too heady, but it's filled with all these, that's my favorite part, all the stories, right? And so I would love to hear, first of all, even before that, just set it up with a story about how the publisher, this guy who read the book to prove it to be a part of Battleground Creative, tell us about that story and his reaction, his response. That was cool to hear about that.
Yeah, when I first reached out, we do most of what we do through a relationship. So my publisher actually knows Bill Vanderbush. And is friends with one of our worship leaders here at church, you know, one of the people that's being raised up in that environment. So it made sense to me in a really big way to reach out to this guy first. And when I reached out to him, one of the, I don't want to say a pushback that he had, but just there was a degree of, I don't want my publishing company to be all about charismatic Christianity. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure about the content. Mm-hmm. So the initial volley was something like, would you be okay if we put a disclaimer in the front of the book saying we don't necessarily agree theologically, you know, or something like that? And I went, that kind of, if the whole point of the book is to say that it's okay to have this gift, I feel like it would leave a bad taste in people's mouth to start it off by going, you might be crazy if you believe this, essentially. Yeah. And he was reading the book, and he would occasionally send me a message like, I was in the house today and reading your book late at night, and I felt like something came in the room and all the hair on the back of my neck stood up. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, feel like I'm having more of these supernatural prophetic experiences, dreams, different things since he went through the book. And when we were in the final stages of publishing, mm-hmm. We were, you know, I was talking about something completely different, like an edit. And he said, oh, I have a surprise for you. Did I tell you what my surprise was? And I went, cool, no. And he said, I actually was so impacted by your book that I wrote you an endorsement. Mm-hmm. So we had the shift for a guy that... he's closer to our stream, I think, but is still, you know, part of a Southern Baptist Convention church.
Yes.
That as a whole doesn't really embrace these things the way that some other movements do. Went from, we kind of want to have a disclaimer to, I decided to write you an endorsement. So that felt like a huge deal.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly is. And that's amazing. I love it. So we have had a previous interview. I just wanted to highlight that for our listeners too, that we talked about encounters with God and about the prophecy conference. And if we have time, I'd love to do like an unpack of that, the prophecy conference kind of in review. But I heard a story recently. I think my wife actually related it to me because I was maybe out of the room at the time, at church or whatever it was, wherever the situation was. But about your daughter, you have one chapter in your book called My Little Seer, and you talk about your daughter's seer gift. And I would love for you to tell that story about the recent encounter that she had. Well, in the store, a woman was highlighted to your daughter. And tell us about that story.
Serenity is fearless.
Yeah.
And she's grown up in a culture that embraces the mystical and the supernatural and the gifts of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So for her, it's very normal to get a prophetic word for somebody. It's very normal to hear God's heart for another person. That's normal. So my wife and my daughter were in our local grocery store, a block away from the house. And as they were checking out, Serenity saw an older woman and pulled on Mama's coat and said, Mama, I feel like I have to pray for her, give her a prophetic word. Mm-hmm. And you know, still being a good parent, my wife went, okay, just let me get the groceries bagged and then we can go over there and we'll see if she's there. And sure enough, when they were leaving, they were walking out at the same time. So a little Serenity went up and pulled on her jacket and said, excuse me, ma'am, I think I have a prophetic word for you. And this lady, I think, A, didn't understand five-year-old language very well, and B, had some really heavy accented Christianese charismatic Christianese even that came out of Serenity. But Callie translated my wife and just said, she just was wondering if she could pray for you and felt like God had a message for you. So this older lady grabbed my daughter by the hands and said, sure, I'd love for you to pray for me. And the prayer that came out of Serenity was not have a good day or that God, it wasn't a surface level thing at all. She prayed, God, I just declare that all of the wounds or the hurts that are in you from when you were a little girl would be gone right now in Jesus' name. That you would be healed of all the hurts from when you were a little girl in Jesus' name. And right there in the middle of this festival of foods, this woman is encountering the Holy Spirit and she's sobbing, just crying in the presence of God as my five-year-old just does this stuff that we press so hard for people to get the fire to do, just to go out and do the stuff that Jesus did.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll tell you, when my wife told me that story, I just instantly started crying, you know, as she told me that. And because I think we can all relate to those wounds in our heart from our past that Jesus wants to say something to. He wants to heal our hearts and bring that healing. And the Lord used your daughter to do that, not just for that woman, but as the story goes out, I believe that's going to heal a whole lot more. And it's just beautiful. And so your book has a lot of those stories in it. You shared one of the most powerful ones with me in our last interview. And I'll just refer people to that. But about when you met Jesus, you encountered Jesus and your grandfather. And it really healed your heart about some unspoken issues between you and your grandfather. That was amazing. But what are some other, like, what's another story that you'd just love to share that was in your book? Or it doesn't even have to be in your book if you don't want to.
Did I talk about the afterword of that encounter? Like the...
I don't believe so. Go ahead, yeah. Tell
the black feathers?
No.
So we had this encounter and on the Sea of Galilee in Israel. And one of the after effects of that was I started seeing an angel with black wings following me around. And there's something about that, noticing those things, noticing the distinctives there. And I think we hear an angel with black wings and we go, oh, is that a demon? If black is the thing that can't be redeemed for you, we have a whole nother conversation we have to have. But I started noticing this angel over and over again, and I finally asked God, what's with the new angel that I haven't seen around? And I heard God say back, that's your grandfather's angel. That's a spirit of wisdom and revelation that was assigned to your grandfather, and now he's been assigned to you. And these things have become, I don't want to say they're mundane, but they become so commonplace that I did not write it down or did not think to tell anybody about it.
Yeah, until now. Exclusive content.
I've told some family and some of the people in our School of Supernatural Ministry have heard some of these stories, but as far as going live on the web, I don't know how much. But Callie, I've been back for maybe 2 weeks from that Israel trip, and Callie had come up and had black feathers in her hands and said, I don't know what the heck is going on. I don't know if a coat is shedding or what's going on, but ever since you got back from Israel, Serenity and I have been finding these little black feathers all over the house. And there was an assortment of ranges and sizes of black feathers that had just shown up in our apartment and had nothing that we could trace to be the source of it aside from the fact that I was at least seeing this angel with black wings that had showed up and been a part of our dynamic for a while. So that was wild. And even in the midst of that, Serenity had seen that same angel. And before told her the story, it had come out of her that she'd seen this angel with dark wings. So wild stuff.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now I love I was gonna bring this up later, but I love how you're into activating the body of Christ, you know, like I loved even during the prophecy conference the Sunday morning that you spoke, and it was probably a bit much for a lot of the people that maybe there. I don't know, but I loved it because it's like, well, why not? We're reading a story about Elisha and Gehazi and how Elisha prayed for Gehazi's eyes to be open to see all the angels surrounding the army that's surrounding them that was causing his heart to panic. Elisha was cool. He was chill. He was like, oh, yeah, open his eyes. Sees the chariots of fire, all the angels surrounding that army. And then he has a response for it. And you're like, okay, now let's activate, you know? And and that was really remarkable to me about, you know, you saw some angels in the room, right, apparently. And then you had the seers in the room pray for people who wanted that seer gift. For their eyes to be open to see the angels in the room and then go to where the angels are. And it was just kind of a practical way of like putting this into practice and demonstrating, hey, we're into activating. And that's really awesome. I love that. And even Bill Vanderbush in my interview with him, he's like, I'm going to bring the activation. It's not just going to be me speaking. We're going to activate people in prophetic ways or whatnot. So I love that. I'm coming to a question here about some of the content in the book. Like their first chapter talks about being a seer from birth, like a little boy seeing angels and things. And I just wanted to unpack, like, what is a seer and what is a seer anointing? Lay it on.
I believe that the same way that we can have a teacher who tends to process intellectually, or we can have a feeler, a mercy gift, whatever word that you want to use for that, that processes the things of the spirit emotionally. We have the seer anointing, the seer gift, that is a person that is just hardwired to process things visually. Mm-hmm. I think it is a way to interact with the spirit realm and draw closer to God just based on the way that he wires people. We would never argue with the idea that somebody with a very pastoral heart has an emotional connection. But we would maybe shy away from the idea that someone can have a visual connection. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when we talk about the seer gift and the seer anointing, I kind of use the terms interchangeably. But at the end of the day, the gifts are given to different levels. They're given to a different measure of faith from person to person. I think there's a call to do something with it. That's kind of the way that I've always explained the anointing to people, is it's a blessing for a reason. Mm-hmm. An anointing and a call usually end up going hand in hand. It's a blessing that you're supposed to do something with. So this whole idea of the call, the anointing, the gift, it's not for fun, even though it is fun.
Yeah.
It's not for building a platform for yourself, even though undoubtedly people have been doing it for a long time. The real heart of it is to draw the whole body closer to him as it draws you closer to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen. Yeah, and one thing I've seen is that it's, like I mentioned earlier, being the eye in the body of Christ. And if you don't mind, I would love to just read a little bit of scripture about it. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12, 13, and 14. What a key passage for the church, you know? And so it talks about speaking in tongues, you know, and earlier. And then it goes into one body with many parts, picking up in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 12. It says, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye, the seer, can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. And it goes on a little bit more. And then it ends with, let me show you the way of life that's best of all, you know, after talking about some of these gifts that he mentions here in the next few verses. And then it's all about love, right?
Yeah.
Love, you know, and that's been very important and key to me, especially being involved with a church again. We'd kind of been without a church home, even though we've been serving a lot of various church homes. My wife and I travel around and lead worship in churches, and we love doing that. It's really special, but we hadn't plugged in anywhere for like a couple to a few years until we landed at Elevation, and you know, and we're plugging in. Kind of calling that home, hanging our hat there. Mm-hmm. And I think initially I was very afraid, like, will these people love me, you know? And so part of that fear makes you want to just withdraw and not, you know, and hold back, right? Instead of actually investing and risking the pain of rejection or, you know, whatever could happen, right?
Yeah.
So love is do to others as you would have them do unto you, as Jesus said, and it's beautiful. So unfortunately, though, as a body of Christ, we have not been in the habit of loving our eyes very well. In fact, we've been kind of stabbing ourselves in the eye.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about that at all?
Culturally, we just haven't been open to even the word mysticism triggers people.
Mm-hmm.
Even the word mysticism brings up ideas of Eastern religion, which is interesting because Christianity is an Eastern religion.
Mm-hmm.
Jerusalem is in the middle of the East. I don't know if people realize that often or not. And it's just a sad place to be, where we see so clearly in the first century church interaction with the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. And visions and dreams and angelic encounters and just a framework, this beautiful tapestry of the miraculous, some of it through that seer lens, and we cut that off from the church, and then we wonder why there's not the fruit that there was.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go further and talk about all of the gifts, but just specifically for the seer gift. In your average church, if you want to get labeled as a nut and driven out of the church, admit that you're a seer.
Mm-hmm.
I admit that you're a seer.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, there are so many seers examples in the Bible, you know, like, of course, I'm thinking about Paul when he's on the ship, you know, and he says, the Lord's angel stood by me and gave comforting words about, you know, them surviving that ship at sea that was, they thought was doomed, caught in a storm for 14 days. So Paul was a seer. You know, Jesus was a seer. And I think people would hear that and be like, well, of course Jesus was a seer. He was God, you know, but he did empty himself and became a man just like you and me. And what kind of walked out what a normal Christian life looks like. That's what Jesus did. Jesus is the example of a normal Christian life. You know, so I've interviewed, my first interview on this Sozo Talk Radio was with Robbie Dawkins, who wrote a book called Do What Jesus Did, you know, and he's kind of walking that out and the miraculous and whatnot. That's all available to us. So
totally.
I would love to read the scripture from Joel 2 as well about seeing and the promise of seeing. And it says, then after doing all those things, this is Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28. And if you want to know what all those things are, you just have to pick up your Bible and read Joel 2, or the whole book of Joel. After doing all those things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. I always like to point out that. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. And your young men will see visions. So there you go. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike. And I will call men and women. Here he is, okay. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and, the Greek reads, glorious, the Greek translation, glorious day or awesome day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So there you have it from Joel 2. But yeah, I love that he's poured it out on all flesh. You know, all mankind, God's Spirit has been poured out. There's not a person you will ever meet that doesn't have the Holy Spirit on them and working for their redemption. And we get to partner with what God's doing in their life through the prophetic gift. And I loved the prophecy conference, you know, to help people to like, okay, we're hearing God for ourselves and for others. And all right, where am I going to go now? I could tell you about, first of all, about the stabbing in the eye thing, you know, like the persecutors, the detractors, what would you say to a detractor or a persecutor?
Honestly, I wouldn't. And I know it sounds weird, but I had this encounter with a good friend named Toby. He's actually a really anointed evangelist in Germany. And we were talking about team building dynamics a few years ago. And he had asked about if I had any insight or any revelation on how to build a team of evangelists in his church. And I operate in this gift of words of wisdom where stuff will just fall out of my mouth that I go, that's really good. Where did that come from? What do you do? Just got through a lot of college papers using that gift, actually. But the thing that fell out of my mouth was, if they're hungry, pour into them everything that you can. If they're interested, invite them along for the ride. And if they are hostile or disinterested, just ignore them until their hearts change. And when it comes to somebody that wants to debate the existence of a gift, or somebody that wants to fight over whether God is doing something in the land, if their mind is made up and their heart posture is not to learn and to be open, but if they're actually coming to correct me or to come down on me, in the name of having a discussion or in the name of asking questions, that's something that I can't work with. If there's not humility to work with in somebody, it's actually a waste of your time and energy to pour into them in anything, anything at all. So for someone that was fighting actively against the existence of this gift, I would love them, but they wouldn't have access to me where we could have a conversation like that.
Yeah, like Paul said to Timothy, to pour into those that, you know, can pass it on to others, like the hungry, like you said, that's who we're partnered with in life and ministry, those who want it. You know, we're not trying to convince anybody or try to sell anything, but trying to equip for the benefit of the church. Yeah, I'd love to tell you just some of the, since we're getting into this prophecy conference follow-up now. Part of our talk here, I'd love to tell you just a dream that God gave me right after that prophecy conference, and some of that, and how what God was doing in my heart. He gave me a dream where, you know, I really firmly believe I was interacting with angels, and they laid out two scenarios for me. Daniel, you have choices. Here are your choices. And the metaphor that they used was very musical. It was, okay, you can either become a tuba player in this symphony, in this orchestra symphony, or you can play the little triangle chime. Ding. And I was like, okay, Lord, I want to play the tuba. And that became my prayer for the next few weeks. It was so cool. I was like, Lord, I want to play the tuba. But at the same time, I was fighting this inner conflict. Like Jesus revealed to me at the prophecy conference that there's a Jekyll and Hyde thing going on in my heart. You know, I'm at war with myself, you know, and it's kind of a dangerous thing. And so I need to deal with that. And he's more than happy, of course, to deal with that. And I saw a little tadpole, like when I was praying about it, I saw this little tadpole just swimming in sewer water. And I was the tadpole. And then they showed me a picture of the purest, you know, water, not with, you know, the plastic floating in it, but, you know, purest water. And he's like, this is where I want to plunk you. And really, that metaphor of the water is the pure water of his word that he washes his bride with. He's got some good affirming words for us. So this was all was being unpacked for me. And that was amazing. And so the tuba thing, I struggled with it because like I said, I had this Jekyll and Hyde thing going on. I was fighting against it. And I was like, you know, at one point I'm like covering my ears, like, la, 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 don't talk to me because I don't, you know, want to hear it, whatever. And so one of the ways I did that, I had a day off. And all I did was all day was just watch YouTube videos, you know, just entertainment, you know, like comedy stuff, whatever. And one of them was this video. Get this. One of them was this video where there's a stand with like a button on it, or a big red button, and it says, push me for drama, you know. And so this person, you know, bystander just walks up and pushes the button. Okay. And this guy marches down in a tuxedo and then with a stick in his hand, and he turns around and to an empty row of steps up in a park. He just starts directing, and this symphony music comes out of nowhere, you know, out of like speakers hiding the bushes, you know, and he's like directing this and this section, and this whole orchestra symphony is going. Okay. Like, and then at the very end, a woman walks on dressed very nicely, and she has a triangle and goes ding at the end. And I'm like, no, oh, no way. And then during this time, too, during the same week, I'm making a couple new friends, too. You know, one of which I connected with real well at the prophecy conference. Another one I connected with later. And one of them said, yeah, I played tuba in high school. And it was like, no way. Okay, that's interesting. And then get this. I have another new friend. And I hadn't told him this dream. You know, we hadn't really talked about this at all. And he just out of the blue offers some information about his brother. Hey, you know, my brother, he plays tuba in an orchestra in Germany. I'm like, no way. So God was like totally underlining this for me and just like, okay, what does it mean to play the tuba? First, I need to learn how to read music. You know that I'm a full-time musician. I don't know how to read music. So I need to acquire some new skills. That's what God was telling me. I need to acquire some new skills. And I don't believe this is just, it's not literal, of course, it's a metaphor. I need to learn some new skills. And I need to learn how to work well with others, you know. And then you get to play this role that's integral. It's like unique. It's you know, the tuba plays harmony. I was researching it a little bit. It plays harmony in the brass section, and there's only one of them. And it was just kind of interesting, you know. So I'm like, okay, God, I want to play the tuba. So that was my whole unpacking of that thing and the struggle that ensued.
Isn't it amazing when God shows up and gives confirmation after confirmation?
Yeah.
We actually just had something kind of like that happen here at the church. And just something that popped into my mind while you were talking. So if we have a second,
go ahead
and share it. But one of my second year students in our school of ministry was at a house fires type revival meeting. And they were doing a prophetic activation where I think it was prophesying into pictures. And he ended up with this picture of a cargo ship in a storm going through this really rough sea, you know, like a big container ship. And he saw the picture, you know, did the prophetic activation kind of thing with it. And they just filed it away in the back of his mind. Oh, this last Sunday, during our, I don't know if you were in first service this last Sunday, but there was this ridiculous release in worship where things just built and built and built. And I was in the back of the room, or I was in the front of the room And I could feel that wave of the presence moving back and forth. And I was actually moving with it, just going, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going with this. Ended up on my face for most of the worship. It was just incredible. Heard a report from one of our lead ushers saying she was in the back of the room, feeling the exact same waves going through the room, feeling the exact same thing happening. So she ran up to the front just to be a part of it. So there's a lesson hidden in there about willingness to move your feet, to step into spiritual breakthrough. So after the service, we're trying to figure out, like, what was God doing there? What happened? I got a message from a friend of mine from the church named Dan that very rarely sends me prophetic stuff, very rarely. And he said in worship during the first service, I saw a vision of a real stormy sea in a container ship. Wasn't at this fire, this house fires type meeting, wasn't a part of any of this thing that my second year student had been a part of. He said, I saw this ship going through stormy sea, and it had huge containers on it, going back to that picture again. And he said every one of the containers was labeled accusations. And he said that a wave rushed in and hit that ship and knocked it right over. And all the containers were lost in the ocean. And he said, I heard the voice of God say, those accusations are never going to make it to port. Wow. So over the course of a month, God strung this thing together to open up this breakthrough that we got to have on Sunday morning. There's just something so significant about embracing those things and letting those things happen and seeing how good he is at bringing all the moving parts together when he wants to bring a breakthrough.
So yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. I was just feeling the Holy Spirit during that too. And even in my last interview with Bill Vanderbush, he talked, gosh, I just lost it, but you'll just have to listen to it. Anyway, I will tell you this though. A few weeks ago when I was in church, I had a migraine Saturday night, and actually coming into Sunday morning too, a very severe migraine, and I'm like, I don't know if I can come to church. So Catherine was gonna go with the girls, the two girls, and leave me with the boy, and I'm like, I don't want to be left home with the boy, you know, having this migraine. So I'm like, I'll come along. So we all made it to church. And I walk in, and we walk around to check our kids in, and I see you back by the, you know, back by the coffee area. And what struck me though, the first moment when I walked around the corner was like the worship, you know, just the sound of the worship, first of all, coming through the closed doors and stuff, but this, it was coming through the speaker and this, and the little TV screen back in that area. And I just locked onto that, and I was just feeling the waves of glory, and it was healing my migraine. Like, my migraine is dissipating as I'm feeling the glory here. I'm just like, I'm so focused in on that. Then I'm like, I'm just loving this. And you're like, oh, hi, Daniel. I'm like, wait, you know, just getting some healing right now. So that was cool. You know, and that's what happens when we do come together as a family. And so I'd invite all our listeners just to come check out Elevation Church. You know, just give that a plug. Sign up to their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ElevationChurchWI. That's their website. I don't. What is the Facebook? I don't know. I'll have to.
That could be what it is.
Could be. Let me queue it up so we know. Give people an accurate thing, you know. There it is. Yes, it is Elevation Church WI. So click on that, connect with their page. It's live streamed for anybody who lives far enough away they can't get to it. Just to be blessed by some of these messages by Ryan's Heart, who I'm interviewing actually next week here on Sozo Talk Radio. I interviewed him a few months ago too, as well. So. Check out all that at sozotalkradio.com. Subscribe, listeners. And I would like to close out with just, you know, because I don't want to push this over an hour. I wanted to close out with just a Ryan Kibbe's foreword to your book. And by the way, you mentioned it already, your Elevate You's School of Supernatural Ministry. If you guys want to get deeper and plugged in, learning to grow in the prophetic gifts and just get the heart and good heart posture. And I would recommend that to anybody. School of Supernatural Ministry. Aaron, okay, here's what Ryan Kibbe writes. He says, Aaron and Callie, your wife, lead our Elevate You School of Supernatural Ministry. They are committed to raising up radical revivalists, lovers of God, who are sold out to the vision of impacting and changing culture around them. Part of this vision is to identify the gift, calling, and anointing on a person's life so they can walk out their God-given assignments. I am convinced that a major part of their unique ministry assignment is to partner with God in locating, highlighting, and empowering people who possess the seer anointing. The church at large has such a valuable weapon at its disposal, yet it is so rarely talked about. Many of those who operate in this gift have been ignored at best and shunned from congregations at worst. That is why this book is a game changer for those hungry to understand it and grow in the seer anointing. It is for pastors, leaders, business people, and government officials. It's for everyone, as I believe the seer anointing is essential to the next move of God. I encourage you with open hearts and minds to embrace this composition. It is biblically based and bathed in Aaron's own personal experience for practical teaching and equipping. My prayer is that the church will embrace this authentic gift of the Holy Spirit so that religious filters collapse under the weight of God's glory and the name of Jesus Christ is exalted throughout the earth. Of the increase of his peace and government, there will be no end. Amen. So, any last words, Aaron? And I'd love for you to pray for our listeners, too.
Certainly. I've been amazed at the number of people that have stepped into the supernatural after reading my book. And that was really the whole point. It wasn't about, and it reads like it's about restoring a gift and about making sure that people aren't shunned, but the real experience that led to the writing of this was just crying out to God one day saying, I want them to know you the way that I know you. Mm-hmm. But I want them to come face to face with you the way that I come face to face with you so often, God. I don't want it to be that hearing your voice is so strange to people anymore. Mm-hmm. And we've been seeing it. And I've heard so many reports from so many different people of an increase in dreams and visions, and had a few of our students see angels for the first time after reading it. Like, there are big things being unlocked here, bigger than me, bigger than you. I think God restoring something to the church that has been kind of hidden in plain sight, pun half intended, all along. So there's that. And I just declare that this would be a season of breakthrough and acceleration for the body at large. And that there is a significance to what God is doing in the land globally. There is a global significance. Principalities are being unseated right now all across the nations. There is a shift happening in the governance and the spirit realm all across the nations right now. And, you know, we've seen the stirrings with peace agreements happening in nations where we had no dream that there would be a peace agreement, save for a smattering of prophetic words over the last few years about God doing those sorts of things. This is something that we can step into globally as the community, globally as the church, as the ecclesia. We can step into this. So I just declare that there would be an increase in awareness over anyone watching this of the peace and the hope that is available always, but amplified in this season. That this is a breakthrough season, that this is the year of victory, mm-hmm. and that any fear about the supernatural falls off, any fear about the spirit realm falls off, any fear about, you know, demonic attack that could come with a gift. God doesn't give a gift to his kids so that it'll be a lure to draw in the enemy. That's foolishness. So I break that off in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. These gifts that he gives are access points to draw closer to him. So God, we thank you for access points to draw closer to you. God, we thank you for equipping us with the ability to have greater intimacy with you, and that would fall on every person that watches this, that would fall on you if you're watching, that there would be such an increase in your nearness to the Father, that there'd be such an increase in your willingness and readiness to hear his voice, and I believe to act on it. I believe this is an act on it season, the same way that Serenity stepped out and has been praying for people. We have more stories than that since then, praying for people in public, that there would be a greater increase in this. And there's an evangelism coming that we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. There's an expression of evangelism that does not look like the old wineskin thing that we've tried to stuff it into. So be on the lookout for that. And that you would have access and capacity. That capacity would increase. That your capacity to take what he has, your capacity to walk in gifts, your capacity to receive from him and to go deep with him would increase in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I receive that. Encourage all our listeners to receive that as well and just walk in deeper intimacy with God, because that's what all these gifts are for. They're to connect us with him and with each other. Like, we're all part of one big happy family, the family of God. And so thank you, Aaron. And would you hold up your book once again? All right. Where can we pick it up, Aaron?
If you want to come to Elevation Church, we have hard copies there. Otherwise, the only place we have them available right now is Amazon. It's just easier that way, and I don't have time to run shipping. Right. So Amazon.com, if you look up the Seer Anointing, it should be the first thing that pops up. And you've seen the title.
Yeah.
It'll be good.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It is. It's definitely worth it. So thank you to all our listeners for listening, and be sure to subscribe to Sozo Talk Radio here on this YouTube channel, the Daniel Lovett YouTube channel, or iTunes. I'm on iTunes and Facebook. So thank you all for watching, and I'm going to be closing out too with a song that my wife and I have written on our latest album called Reflect Love. You can pick that up at reflectworship.com. or reflect.bandcamp.com. And there's all kinds of links and descriptions. I'm going to write up a blog. There's going to be links to that in the below this YouTube video or at sozotalkradio.com. Thank you all for listening. Peace out.
Is heavy and hard to take. It's time to get away, to sit alone and pray. Your hand is heavy, but I'm thankful that it's there, that it's resting on my shoulder, shows you care. So I will enter the silence. The Lord is good to those who wait, to those who seek his face. As you enter the silence, hope whispers out to you, his love will lead you through. Mm-hmm. to seek his face.